Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the final exit interview for Australian Survivor Season 2. I'm your host, Nick Idanza, the Survivor Know-It-Alls, and this is the last one. This is the final deep dive. I have done hours and hours and hours of deep dives for you guys this season. I've spoken to everyone, and the last person I have to speak to fittingly is the winner himself. So today you'll be hearing from Jericho. We spoke for about an hour and a half, broke down everything about his game. He's a very risky Survivor player, and he's someone who not necessarily, he always did stuff with purpose, but he didn't always think through the ramifications. And I had a really good chat with him, just kind of talking through all those points and him kind of like explaining his reasoning behind a lot of the moves he made. Super risky, super fun, a great strategist, and someone who had a lot to offer. And he definitely is a very highly satisfying and rewarding end to a great season. Before we get to that, just want to thank everyone so much for their support. I am just an English teacher who happens to be on a TV show, and now all of a sudden I have a hugely successful podcast because of you guys. You guys came back week after week and checked out what I had to say and checked out what the people who were on the season had to say. And I'm so grateful for that. And I don't want anyone to think that it's lost on me how exciting it is that you guys want to hear my opinion and you want to hear from these guys as well. So thank you so much. I'd love it if you could go over to Instagram and Twitter and chuck us a follow so that we can stay in contact. I would love to hear from you guys, not just about Survivor, but in the Survivor offseason, the American Survivor, I'll be catching up with very soon. Let's just chat. Let's chat about anything. TV shows, books. I've been reading so many books lately. I want to hear from you guys what you have to say. So head on over to Instagram and Twitter and let's start a conversation. So without further ado, we're going to dive right into Jericho's podcast. But one more thing, I've got two more podcasts to do this year. One will be a wrap up with Craig from season one, finally putting a bow on this season. And it'll be a short one. It'll just be kind of like putting a bow on it and looking forward to the future of Australian Survivor. And then I'll be on the Taryn Armstrong show in a couple of weeks, and I will be talking all about my life on that, which I'm super excited about. So check out those two things, because after that, I am hanging up the podcast mic for a very long while so I can get back to my real life. So thanks so much, guys, for checking this out. I think you're really going to enjoy my chat with Jericho. Here it is. All right, everyone, this is it. This is the big one. The person who is you're the focal point of the entire season. You are our winner, and you are Jericho.
What?
Jericho, thank you so much for joining me to go through absolutely everything about your game and to talk to the fans who have been cheering you on for the last couple of months. How are you feeling, mate?
Oh, man, I'm so stoked. I'm still feeling like I'm in cloud nine and, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's been a crazy season. It's been all of these voting blocks and just going through so many, like, twists and great players. And to be the person who takes it on to the end, like, to be honest, I'm honored, but at the same time, to know that there were so many other great players who were deserving to win as well, makes me feel like it's been a massive season, and I'm like stoked to win. You know.
Well, congratulations, mate! Like you said, it was a crazy season. It had so many twists and turns, so much great gameplay, and I think that everyone is satisfied and happy that you won as someone who does really personify a lot of those attributes. You were entertaining, you were good TV, you were funny, you were strategic. So I think this is going to be a good chat where we get to really kind of just drill down into all that stuff. So yes, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Before we get to that, would you like to tell everyone where you currently are?
I am actually at Luke's house at the moment. I was like, bro, I'll let you off. I got to talk to this great guy called Nick and then do a little podcast. So right now he's just kicking back in the living room, having a few drinks, and yeah, that's about it. Well,
you don't want to hang out with him anyway. You want to hang out. This is where you want to be. So yeah.
Exactly. This is where it's at.
Well, we won't keep you too long, but I think we're going to be here a while because there's a lot to talk about. So let's dive in. Give me, Jericho, your history with Survivor.
All right. Oh, you mean like full-on summary?
Were you a fan of the show beforehand? Did you watch the Australian one, the American one? How long?
I'll tell you the thing. It's like I fell in love with Survivor because of the American season. You know, like it went from one season to, you know, it's currently on season 35. And the fact that it's the game is an evolving game. Like you think that, you know, that's like a season where it's just got a formula. Next thing you know, a season changes the whole thing again. So it's that's what I love about the show is like the unpredictability. And so I knew that when I came into the show that you have to go in a game where everything's raw. And so I decided to rock up. And if I wanted to go into the show, I had to be like, you know what, I just be myself and see how you go from day one. Yeah.
Did you apply last year or was it this your first time you had applied?
Yeah, so I applied like last season. I didn't get it, but I actually thought it was great for me because I thought to myself, like, I was still in the stage where I was still looking for a job. And when I got Qantas, I was like, you know what, this is a great year for me to learn about myself. And when I went to apply for this season, I felt like I was more confident, had more idea of how I wanted to play. And yeah, I just think I knew more myself.
You said you're a flight attendant for Qantas. You've been working during the season. What's the reaction been? Has there been people on the planes who have like, you're highly recognizable, Jericho. So has there been any funny stories?
Yeah, well, actually, during the show, there was one guy who was like pretending to be sleeping. But he was actually a fan. And then next thing you know, as I was walking in to hand in like, you know, snacks, and he was like, oh, could I please get some crackers? And I was like, oh, we got some cheese and crackers. And like, no, I was thinking like cookies. And I was like, no, we don't have cookies. And then I just walked off and I was like, nah, just joking. I'll get you some cookies. And then, yeah.
That's funny.
That was the funniest one.
That word is going to be associated with you for a while. So,
yeah, I think that's the brand. So I may as well own it.
Yeah. So one of the other parts that was big of as your character that was selling us early on was this whole idea about Christian. You had these Christian values and you're religious. Can you tell me a little bit about your faith and your background, and then how that kind of came into play for Survivor?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I hope that I'm someone who I feel like would do a lot for others. And I think that is where my heart is. I would do a lot for anyone. And I think where my heart is like a lot on youth. And I actually think that there is where is my real life purpose. But as I went to apply for the show, I knew that in a game where there's full of lies and deception and everything like that, I knew that you can't rock up to a show like this and hold your values and principles.
Yeah.
And so that when I applied, I said to myself that if I was going to apply for the show, that you just be honest. Yeah. So I went up and as I applied, I was like, yeah, this is me. This is me in a platter. But why have a Christian who's going to be the cliche, you know, honorable and modest and dependable, reliant, where say, for example, like myself, where I can be that person, but instead with a twist and like the Christian who actually lies and deceive others and make them believe and perceive that this person that they see is the Christian guy, but really I'm behind their backs is the person who will actually stab them in the back and not even know it. And so I thought that was a big seller, that there's a Christian person who is willing to lie and cheat and steal.
Yeah.
It's
a very, very marketable in terms of like who you are to get on the show. Has there been any blowback from the Christian community, or has there been anyone that's kind of like, you know, maybe from your congregation or anyone that have said that have been really unhappy with the way you played because you did have to couch those values?
Well, actually, you know, the people that know me really well from my own church, like, actually are real, like, happy and proud of me. And I think the Christian community, I think majority, has been positive feedback. Is that the fact is that I am someone who has been a representative in the sense that, there is a Christian who's rocked up into this game, who can play the game and still kept his value once the game is finished.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm a good representative in the sense that not just Christians, but, say, Muslims or, Hindus, and it's given them an opening to understand that, you know what, like, whatever religion, whatever background, you can rock up in this game and play well, regardless of your background. And I think that that's what I'm trying to allow all these other people who's been constrained to want to apply because they feel like religion is, like, hindering them. And I'm like, nah. Look, I did it. Go out in there and actually smash it.
Sure. So on day one, you know, you rock up, you're on the boat, you get there, you walk into a sangha camp beach. On day one, what was your prediction? Because we all have predictions of where we're going to go before we get out there. Like, my prediction was that I was going to go home just before the merge in that kind of, like, you know, that spot. What was your prediction of where you were going to go?
Yeah, I actually was on the barge, and when I was looking at these people, I'm like, crap, there's 23 other contestants, you know? And I thought to myself, well, that's, like, my chances gone to slim again. And then when I got to the camp, I was like, okay, crap, like, how am I going to last against these people? And I, to be honest, I thought with the fact that there's 24, same as you, I literally thought to myself, like, not a chance that I'll make, like, I'll either get voted out or, like, really early, or I'll get to the merge and get voted out.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought the same, you know?
Yeah. And on day one, who was the person on day one that you instantly drew to? Because obviously we know that you and Luke have this huge thing. We'll get to that in a second. But was it Luke straight away that you were drawn to?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, so it was actually day one was – all, like, everyone was all in for all, and everyone was, like, trying to suss each other out. I didn't see Luke until about day one evening, but day one day, it was probably Joan. So it's funny, like, how funny is that, eh? So, but day one evening was Luke. Day one day was John.
So what was it about Luke? And you know, you've spoken about this at the reunion. So this is well-covered territory, but can you just quickly summarize what is it about him? And in case he's got his ear to the door, we don't want to give him too much of a big head. But
He's not.
We don't want to give him a big head, but what was the, what was it about him that drew you to him?
To be honest, like, the fact that the lad, like, he rocked up to me one day and he was, like, keen on causing chaos. And then, but he didn't say it in those words. It was more like there was this established, like, it was Sam who was wanting to grab a majority, which was, like, cool as and everything. And it seemed like it was too easy. And for me, my heart is, because I love Survivor and I love the whole idea of, like, destroying this whole majority thing. When Luke had come up to me and just randomly was like, oh, do you reckon that we should switch it up? The minute he said that was the minute I was like, I'm on board. Like, holy crap, that, like, you know my heart, brother. And you know what I mean? And that was the minute when we both established the idea of trying to not do the whole let's get rid of just Joan initially, let's just stir it up and make Sam, who thought she was in huge control, make her feel a little bit like edgy. And that was when it all started.
Who did you not want to work with from the barge? So this is before you've spoken to anyone. Who did you look at from either tribe and just go, hell no, H2O, I am not working with that person?
Okay, so literally it was Kent. I was like, mate, I was like, oh my goodness, please don't look, because I was looking at by colors on our
clothes,
because I knew that I was wearing blue for a certain reason. So I was like, okay, please don't have Kent. And I was like looking at him and I was like, I wonder who this guy is. Is he in my team? And I was thinking, please don't let her, please don't have like Mrs. Doubtfire's husband on my side. We're gonna lose, you know what I mean? And then the minute he was on my team, I was like, great. And then I look it to my side and I thought, great, we've got like Mark, because at the time he was wearing like clubbing shoes and like leather jacket. And I was like, yeah, he had clubbing shoes. He had like dress croc shoes. And I was like, great. Like, does he know that we're going to Samoa? But I think he was trying to portray to everybody that he is like a fashion designer person.
That's funny.
So I was like, in my head, I was like, we got a guy who's going to town. There's a guy that's going to be like Mr. Doubtfire's husband. We've got a model. We've got a nanny. Like, we're screwed. And then, you know what I mean? So like, I was like, no way do I want to work with any of these guys. And then I actually thought the yoga guy was like really yogi. And the funny part was that I never knew he was actually a laborer till the end of the show.
Yeah, so right.
He screwed me. Yeah.
So there's the Joan vote and there's a few other episodes, but I think it was heading into like the second week of episodes. The commercial hints that you are going to have this moral dilemma, and then it shows you with this jar of cookies. Now, I did power rankings for Inside Survivor, and going into week two, I put you at the very bottom of the I was like, I love Jericho, but there is no way that he is going to have a moral dilemma and survive. We all saw everyone who went on the moral dilemma last year. You know, I got destroyed. This guy, a cheeky little strategist who's got a moral dilemma. I know what happens. He'll get done. And obviously, because I am very bad at Survivor, I did not know that the exact opposite would happen. Were you worried at that point? Because you just looked so happy, like you're going to have so much fun with these cookies. Were you worried about the blowback as to what would happen if someone found out? Because I was stressing out for you.
So when I had seen the cookies, I actually literally said the words, I need this. Like, I need this. And then I actually had a confession with, you know, right afterwards. And they were like, you said I needed this. And why is that? And I was like, well, at the end of the day, there's never going to, I can't guarantee myself a point where I will stumble upon a clue to a hidden immunity idol. And if I haven't, then maybe someone's already has. But the fact that I have been, I've walked and stumbled upon this moral dilemma. Survivor is a thing where if you have resources, then you make the most out of your resources. So the minute I saw those cookies, I was like, I'm going to use that as leverage. And that was the most important thing in my game plan.
Yeah, great. So yeah. I know you're probably sick of talking about the cookies, and we will leave it after this question. But, sure. You know, you started dishing them out. You gave them to Luke, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Were you afraid that, because you were telling each of them that you could only share them with one person, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, I don't know if you know, but am I allowed to say anything like behind the scenes?
You can say whatever you think you can, mate.
Yeah, because like obviously, like what you read the clue and stuff, and then obviously, like crew's there, and then the producer's there, and then they do say like the fine lines, what you can and what you cannot do.
Yeah.
So I was actually keen myself to not share it with anyone because I was like, oh, I'm hungry. But then the minute they were like, okay, what you can and what you cannot do. And one of the things was like, you are allowed to share with one or two people or so. But if you choose to do so, you do not tell the entire group as it is, like the entire tribe.
Right.
So I was like, oh, right. And the minute they said that to me was the minute when I was like, why are you telling me that? It's obviously meaning that you want me to, you know, like do that. And if anything, that would actually like send off like some sort of like leverage. And
yeah.
I thought to myself, this is going to be great, you know, great thing for me because I can actually use this to gain people's trust. But the fact that they said that was like, oh, it gives me, you know, they opened a window for me, because I thought that you wouldn't allowed to at all. But the fact that they said those fine lines where you can, I was like, all right, done. And then there were things like, you just make sure you gotta hide it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, fine. So I ticked the box, blah, blah, blah. And then that's when I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to use this to be able to talk to certain people. And that's when I decided to choose certain specific people. And that was three people who I found the most dangerous people at the time. And that was because I felt like if I could have three dangerous people on my side, is the minute I have great alliances.
But were you afraid that they were going to talk to each other? Because you said that you were there with the only person that you could share them with.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Like, when I told Luke and then I told Henry and I told Sarah, I actually, I didn't have it in the back of my head that they could tell everybody. But when I told all three of them, I told them specifically three different stories. So like,
that's what I'm saying. Weren't you afraid that that was going to, like, that Sarah was going to say, hey, like, Henry, I've got these cookies that thing's telling me, like, or were you pretty sure that they weren't going to? Because that's huge risk, and we know you like risk,
yeah,
though.
Yeah. I actually, of course I did. I thought that in my head that Luke was going to be the first person out of the three to tell them, and he was the one that was actually trying to, so when I had told Luke and that I actually went up to Luke and I said, hey, Luke, I'm going to tell Henry this whole story.
Okay.
No, I was like, I'd already told Luke that, oh, Henry's already got like all these things, but I've told him that he's only gets two cookies.
Yeah.
And so Luke felt like really special. And then I told Luke that, I mean, told Henry that the whole like, oh, you're the only person. And I told Sarah that she's the only person. And then if anything, I thought that I was scared that Henry was going to tell Sarah. You know what I mean? And then that would have changed the whole thing. But it didn't.
You play with fire, mate. You're playing with fire.
It was. And this is how I play with fire. Like, they told me, just make sure you hide it in somewhere in the jungle. You know what I did? I actually hid the actual jug or the jar, and I ended up putting it 2 meters away from where everyone was. And it was because I thought, would it be more funny that... like the fact that I could get caught. I don't know. I just felt the whole like I love adrenaline and like I don't know. I don't like playing safe. I love playing risky.
When
and
you
that
were
was
eating,
one of the things.
When you were sitting there, as everyone was eating their dinner, and you're and you're eating and shoving the cookies in your face without even like breaking a sweat, I was stressing hard for you. You were just you're crazy.
I actually got to a point where, so I was staring at them, and there was a point where actually, what's her name? Jackie looked at me, but it was so far away. Like, you know, like it was the point where she was down where the beach was, and I was like up the bank, and she was looking at me and she stared at me for like maybe a good 5 seconds. But then I think she got to a point where she just thought, oh, it's coconut.
No one would be this ballsy. Yeah.
Yeah, why would someone randomly think, oh, it's cookie?
Yeah.
No way.
And then the crumbs, the sprinkling of the crumbs. One of the other things.
It's like,
sorry, go.
Go. No, I was just saying how, like it's nothing, it doesn't change the game or anything. I just love this idea that you could do this, gloss everything, and you could still get caught for the expense of nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just love that idea.
Last question about the cookies. Did you at all think if there's going to be a tribe swap, there's going to be people who say, hey, there was this big jar of cookies, and then Henry and Sarah would be like, hold on a second. He only told me about there being two cookies. You know, did you think of that?
Nah, I didn't think at all. And you know what's so weird? Why didn't anyone talk about it? That was the question. That was the real weird one. Like, why didn't the Samatau people talk about that?
I have no idea.
No one did.
I have no idea. Yeah. So how did you feel? So this is around the tribe swap. We're talking about, you know, there being a swap. Henry moves over. What were your thoughts about Henry leaving? Because when I spoke to Luke, he said that he was really relieved because it meant that he was out and then they could get rid of Jackie and that. Did you share those thoughts?
Yeah. So the last tribal council before that was actually the whole Mark going home, and that was all Henry's idea, right?
Yeah.
And so when Henry actually came out there, out of that tribal council victorious, and he had the majority vote, me and Luke were the only two that came home from that tribal council against, you know, like on the outside. And so when, and then I thought, we're like, oh, well, how are we going to get out of this? He definitely has all the power. Then when there was a whole swap, he decided to go on the other side and went with Ben. And the minute he did that was the minute power shifted to me and Luke. And I was like, I'm going to take hold of this power. And the fact that it's shifted to both me and Luke is the minute we decide to take every single one of his people that was aligned with him.
Yeah.
And take them down so that every single one of his people would not make the merge. And that if he made the merge, then he would have nobody to turn to but us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we dismantled every single one of his people.
One of the things that, you know, having won is that you get to look back and say, oh, yeah, everything I did was on purpose. Like, yeah, and look where it got me. Like, and which is lovely. And, you know, good on you. That's what you earn. You earn that right by winning.
Sure.
But at that point in the game, did you have an end plan? Because what I want to try and try and figure out is when you go to play Survivor is a lot of people play like 3 days at a time or 2 days at a time. Some people play one day at a time. Were you playing like a whole game, smaller chunks, day at a time? How are you playing?
Nah, no way. Like, I think if you try to play like the end game, then it is the minute you like, I don't know. I just feel like that's when people get so concrete in their head and they don't know what to do anything else from that. And like, I think you need to be flexible. I think there were so many promises about top three and top four. And I'm just like there's still 18 of us.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even know if you're even going to make it there. Like, how do you even know that you're guaranteed on the merge? And I think there were so many promises and so many like things that they were telling me. And I was just like, thanks for the proposal. I've had 5 other proposals in that same day. Thank you. I'll bank it in, but I'm not going to like guarantee it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, obviously there was that time where, you know, like Henry definitely had all the control at that time when he got rid of Mark. And I'll tell you at that point, there was a point where I was like, shoot, I'm like, me and Luke are on the out. If anything, I'm not even going to make the merge. I was never at that point where I felt like I was
planning.
Like, yeah, I'm going to make it to the merge and I've got this in the bag. If the minute you have that ego is the minute it sends you home. So you always want to feel like you're just alive to make sure to make you believe that, oh, I'm still in the game. Let's fight for it.
So did people like Jackie and Ken ever feature in your plans, not your end plan, but like your plans moving forward? Or that was it always like, they're going to go and then I'll reassess? The immediate short term is get rid of them.
You know what? So actually, originally there was a point where, you know, like it was still new, it was still fresh. You're still trying to get to know people. And I still had ideas of like, okay, look, Luke was like my main fella, but then I was like, let's be honest. As even though you can say that Luke could be your main guy, there is got to be a chance where he goes. So if he goes, who's your plan B? And I was like, well, actually, Henry is such similar fella. And I was like, if Luke goes, then he's my next Luke.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, he's actually close friends with Jackie. And so I was, if I don't know if it showed much, I don't think it did, but it showed one thing I do remember is that I was really close with Henry as much as I was with Luke.
Yeah.
And I made sure that that relationship was always close because I had to be ready for in the case that, say, Luke or Henry goes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you, and this is a good point to bring it up, did you ever, and this is across the whole game, I don't know, we're skipping ahead, did you ever feel like, okay, I'm about to turn on Luke? Or were you like, I'm with Luke 100% now, but in 3 days, I will seriously consider chopping Luke?
Yeah. So it was always, So it was the minute when we had so when we had merged, I knew that it was always going to be a time that I need to get rid of him around top five, top six. But it wasn't, and so I knew that in the back of my head. But it was around top eight, top seven, where I was like so keen to make that move, and I wanted to be my move, not no one else. Like I wanted to be the first person to say, "Let's get rid of them." But then the minute everybody was keen on getting rid of him, and I was like, "Ah, no," because you know then. For me to jump in would mean that I would just become a number, nothing else. So I didn't want to just like make our relationship injustice by voting him with the majority. So instead I voted with everyone else. I know that's just jumping too far ahead, but
No. So in that moment, did you vote? You didn't vote for Luke that night, did you?
No, I voted with Luke.
Okay.
To go and voted with Ziggy.
I think that's a really good point that you make there. I think that's a really good point. If you're going to turn on your ally, you either turn on them so that it's your move.
Your move, yeah.
Or you stick with them and you get the loyalty points at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Jericho, I love that. I love that.
And I hoped everyone got that idea, but I don't know if it came across on TV, but that was the only reason why. I was so keen, but knowing the fact that everyone was already keen on it, and I was like, it's not going to be my vote. If anything, it's just Jericho, the disloyal friend who decided to join with the majority. I was like, no way.
I think that's very insightful, and that's something that I think people are going to enjoy hearing. That's good. How do you feel, just before we get to the next phase of the game, how do you feel that you never left Asunga Beach, that you were there the whole time?
It's funny, because I think I was one of the only, including Lukey and Sarah probably, who actually just stayed in Asunga. And the fact that, you know, I got to finish day 55 in Asunga is like incredible. So one thing, you know, like I'm like, gutted I didn't see Samatau, but at the same time it's like, whoa, one of the only people.
Samatau's a swamp. You don't want to see that place. But I think can safely say that out of all the American and the Australian seasons, which is 37 seasons now, you are the person who has spent the longest stretch in one place. You're the only person, because American seasons only last for 39 days, and you spent 55 on the one beach. So no one's going to top that unless that happens again. So you got another little record there.
Nice.
What did you think was happening on the other side? So what did you guys think was happening on Summertown? This is before Tara, just before Tara comes over.
Yeah.
What did you think was?
Yeah, before.
Yeah,
before
just
Tara
before,
and
before,
Ellie.
Before.
I honestly thought that Lockie had everyone under wraps, and I was just thinking far out, like, this guy is just running the whole thing. And if these people going out, I'm thinking he's the one that's controlling, because he just looked, especially on the times when people would ask, you know, Jonathan would ask questions, the way he would answer it, it just seems like people were nodding, and, you know, I just feel like he had something in control. But then I thought, like, AK was a very sly dog, the way he just had those, like, little eerie glares across all of us. And I did wonder how the dynamic was between Lockie and him, if they were working together or if they were actually, and like, complete opposite with one another. So that was my question.
One of the things around this time, so there was the letters or item, loved one items, and you got a teddy bear. Now, Liana Boris filled in for me on the podcast while I was in Japan, and her theory on the teddy bear is that, well, before I tell you the theory, was there a theory behind the teddy bear, or why was that your item? Or did you just be like, oh, I love my teddy bear?
Actually, I didn't even know what I was getting, to be honest. Like,
because someone else got that.
I didn't expect. Sure. What I was getting, I didn't even know. And so when I got there, I was like, oh, awesome. But I was kind of glad I got that, because I'm like someone who was so into the game, and if anything, it would have been my brother Paul, who was the one that was at the top four, you know, like loved ones that came, who gave it to me. And I told, and like, I think he knows the idea that you don't give anything that will actually make you feel like really emotional. And in a game of Survivor, you don't send anything that's going to be detrimental to your game. And I think he gave me just a teddy bear to have like a little laugh, if anything.
Well, Liana's theory was that it's pretty much shows everyone, hey, I'm just this cuddly teddy bear. And it fits in with this idea. I'm just this young, fun, you know, Christian guy. But, you know, a teddy bear's got claws. Like that thing can shift from being cuddly to like really scary. And I think it was a nice little metaphor. And we know you love your metaphors, Jericho.
I won't be deep. Like, I'll be honest. Like it wasn't nothing deep into that whole thing. The fact that I didn't even know what I was getting was that. But I'm actually happy that I got that because it wasn't like too intense, like nothing like so sentimental or anything like that, you know?
And at the very least, it makes a good pillow, so.
Exactly. That's what it is. Or like firewood. We were going to use it as firewood, bro, but then honestly, like... we were like, oh, I don't know if we're going to get Teddy community hates.
So the night that Pete mutinied, what was going to happen that night? Because I've had conflicting reports.
What night?
Are you in the toilet, Jericho?
Yeah, I want to take the roll. Sorry, brother, I need a piss. Sorry, Nick, I actually couldn't hold it in.
Okay, everyone, do not adjust your...
I'm trying to piss on the side of the toilet so it doesn't make the swirly sound.
Oh, my God, this... Okay,
I'm being strategic for that.
You had a first before with being the first person to make it 55 days. I think this is another first. Someone's doing a wee during an RHAP podcast, so...
I'm being strategic.
Okay. All right. The night that Pete mutinies, what was going to happen? What, like, because I've heard conflicting reports.
Okay. I don't know what Sarah told you. I don't know what Luke has told you. But from the information that's collected from how I remembered, I won't talk for the others. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So from how I remembered and how I recalled it. So Sarah had come up to me, and after that whole blowout, she was like, okay, Fury, I actually want to get rid of Odette, right? She's like, I want to get rid of Odette. I don't know if it's a lie or not, but she was actually keen on getting rid of Odette, which I don't know if it is a lie. And then from Luke's point of view, Luke actually wants to get rid of Sarah.
Yeah.
And he was really, really keen on Sarah. Boom, boom, boom. And then what I wanted to do was I wanted to get rid of Peter. And so how I was trying to do it was like trying to get both Luke and Sarah on page, because I was at the point I was like, I don't want to get rid of any of you guys. If you guys try to kill each other, it'll be detrimental to my game, because I need you guys in the merge, because I can't keep Odette, because Odette's gameplay is all about majority. And I was like, I can't go into a game, into a merge where her gameplay is majority, because if she goes into merge, what happens then? She's going to play her gameplay, which is majority. Who's the majority? Summertown. Eight against four. She gets rid of us, all of us, boom, done. Whereas I'd rather keep someone like Luke and Sarah and play risky. And that's like a better army, you know what I mean? So, So anyways, they wanted to try and get rid of Odette. Wanted to try to get rid of Sarah. And I wanted to get rid of, who was it? I wanted to try and get rid of
Pete.
Yeah, whoever it was. And I was like,
But if Pete had mutinied, what would have happened? If there was no mutiny and it had gone to a vote,
I think Peter.
You would have voted for Pete.
Yeah, Peter. I would have easily voted for Pete. And you know what I mean. Like, so here's the thing. I think whatever people tell you on podcast now could possibly be totally different compared to how they would have voted on the island. You know, you're hangry. You're blah blah blah. I would tell you on podcast, I would have voted for Pete, but I don't know what people would have said on podcast, but it could have changed for what they were saying on the island. Do you know what I mean? So I'll tell you, I would have voted for Pete, and I even remember in my head I was voting for Pete. That was my vote.
I feel the theory that I was heard, and I may be wrong, was that it was three of you voting for Pete, three of you voting for Odette, and then at the tie, they feel they could have swayed you to vote out Odette.
I'll tell you, I was no way. No way.
Well, there you go.
My
Done.
Person. But then again, what do I know? You know what I mean? Like, what do they know? Like, anyone could tell you whatever it is on podcast, but because
the listeners are good enough. The listeners know how to discern fact from fiction on these things. So we just keep pushing through. We get to the merge. Congratulations. You made the merge. The first vote of the merge is Jared going home. Now, Jared, this is something that kind of loomed large in the final tribal council. You guys talk about, you know, oh, he's going to vote for, I'll underline my vote, etc. What was your, what was the purpose behind underlining the vote?
man, again, like, you know me, I'm all about, like, whiskey and like, I don't like just playing out like just boringness. And so when the minute he was like keen on trying to get rid of, you know, he was actually saying, oh, join with us and go with Luke. Like, you idiot. Like, no way. Like, you know? And the guy was keen on telling me, like, if we do this code thing, we will get rid of Lukey. And I was like, because you say that, I'm going to do the total opposite and vote you out, which was already the plan, but I'll do the underline on you.
It's not a bad move on his behalf, considering, look, we've got eight people, you've got four, sure. He's going to want to jump ship, we'll test his loyalty. Like, in a traditional Survivor season, that's not a bad idea. Little does he know, though, that you and Luke are thick as thieves and that you're someone who is a risky, risky player who likes to kind of like, you know, shoot from the hip. And I think it was a miscalculation on his behalf who he was talking to. But again, you've known each other for
exactly. So the other one is that I'm not sure. So this is the thing that we wanted to like clarify to like the audience is that in the last thing that Samatar remembered us was the mutiny, right? So it was like we literally lit. We were like so crazy and we were like fighting with each other. And then right after that, the next morning, we had this random, like some sort of like, I don't know. I think we had this
love.
Yeah,
potion.
It was just weird. Like we were like, holy crap. Like we just went through all of this thing. But how crazy the fact that we went through this crazy thing and managed to like now come together as a team. And we were like saying to each other, we've gone through actually hell. And now we've managed to pick ourselves up. Samatau hasn't even experienced that. And so when we when we got to merge, like Samatau has never really been tested in the sense that they've been broken. So we were like, but we've gone through the worst. So the fact that we've done this, we're like, if anything, why don't we just keep playing the idea that Asanga is so broken that that's what they'll believe. So while we were like, when we got to merge, me, Luke, Tara, and Sarah, all four of us were on the same page. Like, we'll just tell everybody, I hate them, I hate them, I hate them. And so I was like telling everyone, I was like, I don't trust Luke, I don't trust Sarah. They're all F. Like, they're fucked. I would never want to work with them. I want to join in your pack. And they were like buying it. They were like, okay, well, let's just get rid of Luke, or, you know? And they Luke would say the same thing, Sarah would say the same thing. But little did they know, we knew we had this random, we all had this idea that Tara was like, look, I can get Lockie. And I think Lockie's actually good friends with Henry. And if we go to the merge, and if that's right, then Jerry, you go up to hang out with Henry. Tara were like, I'll go up to hang out with Lockie. Michelle and Sarah will hang out. And I was like, to Luke. I was like, Luke, you don't talk to anyone because I know Henry and you don't get along. Like, I was like, if anything, you just don't do jack, you know, like for the first time, I know you're crazy and stuff, but just don't even try and make a relationship. So if you even noticed that episode, he didn't even really do much, if you noticed.
No, we spoke about that he, of all the, you know, the merge is usually where all the crazy people go even crazier. It was like crazy that he went quieter.
Yeah. And it was with purpose. So all four of us, as we were about to go to merge, because we had a feeling it was going to go merge, we all had a talk about it. We're like, literally all three of us have a relationship. And Luke, to be honest, if you try to, it would just come across like, it would be put off. So if anything, just chill, because they're going to get like they're going to try and gun for you. And if you try too hard, then they would just be like, oh, it'll be a put off. So he actually went quiet, which was so good. You know what I mean?
That's great. Yeah. The one more thing about the underlying thing. The underlying thing I think is so good and so funny, and it was just like hilarious. Mm. But were you worried at this point? You knew that he was going on to the jury. Did you think about that at all? That you're like,
I honestly didn't think it would take into account in like even the finale. Like, I just thought to myself, this was just me, just like having a little, like a cheeky moment, and I didn't think he would ever remember it, because I thought, like, you know, I even forgot about it. I had been like, oh, darn, I did it.
I think what I've learned about you, Jericho.
But the fact that he remembered it.
I think I've learned something.
Sorry.
Sorry to cut you off. I think I've learned something about you, and that is that you don't overthink things, but when you do think about them, you think about them with purpose. Sure. Whereas I feel like I overthink things, especially on Sunday. So I think that's the way to go. Yeah. So, yeah, well done. One of the things is that your name didn't come up for like 50-something days. Now, I got over 20 votes in 5 tribal councils. So
you're hated, brother.
I know. So how do you do this? What is the secret? How does your name come?
Oh, my God. Sorry. To be honest, like, I reckon that my way of thinking is the fact that if you can make two parties, like one person against another, and you can highlight that and make it even worse. Sometimes you don't even have to do anything. You just let them fight. But if you can highlight it and make it even worse just before tribal council, then you're sitting pretty. So I just made sure that I was never the two party. So if I was the person, if I noticed that, say, for example, like Odette and Kent were fighting, hypothetically, I would rock up to Odette and I would just give her another seed and be like, oh, Kent was so, he was laughing at you when you dropped at the challenge. And he says that, so much for Odette being a good asset in the team. And she'd be like, huh? You know, and that would just be like another thing in her head that would just be like, that pisses me off. It's not in the sense that, oh, he wants to get rid of you. It's just more like, he's a dick. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like I never say sentences in the sense where it's so directed. It'll be the implicit idea that it was like, I want to get rid of a Kent. So that was my way of trying to highlight, as long as two parties are on the chopping block, then I'm fine.
So we skip forward a few votes here, Super Idol and all that jazz, you know, but I think one of the things I want to talk to you about was Henry's idol. So Henry gives you the clue. I want your quick take on a few questions. So one, how did you feel when he gave you the clue? Did you think that was legit?
I thought it was legit, and I honestly, like, I give complete credit to him. I actually thought, like, it was like, wow, he just gave me a clue to an idol. What an idiot. But the fact is, like, the fact that I gave him a cookie and now he's in return giving me a clue to an idol. Like, I don't even have to look for idols. I actually thought he gave me a genuine clue. So I was,
Because I think there's a lot of positives of your game. And I think if there was one blind spot, I think it is around this whole idol thing. And it's very easy to be duped because I think he did such a good job. So Did you ever consider, like, well, why would he go to another tribe if he's got an idol clue for the one back home?
Mm.
Like,
well, no. So one thing that wasn't told on the show was that he actually had rocked up to me, maybe Merge or something, and he had explained to me how he got the idol, and he said that he was given two. So as he got into the Summertow, he was given two clues, and that was a red ribbon and a blue ribbon. And he had told me that he chose the blue ribbon, which was, you know, and he says that the sangha. And he said in a sangha there's a hidden idol. And good. So like that just sounds believable. You know what I mean? I was just like done.
No, I would believe.
So like I believed it, and I was like done. And then I just assumed that he's basically, this clue is to help him find it. But if I found it, I wouldn't tell him. But yeah, that was how I was looking at it.
So when you, the scene where he plants the idol again, which I think is brilliant strategy, amazing. And he acted it so well. Did you, when you found out about that, if, correct me if I'm wrong, Sarah tries to tell you that that was him planting it. Sarah rats him out. And did you believe her at that point?
Yeah, so I completely believed it. And I just realized how dumb I was. I was just like, I can't believe how much I felt for it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
did that make you angry? Like, that? Did that, like, now we've definitely got to get him out? Mm-hmm. You were just like, okay, cool, I'll just...
I just thought to myself, I was like, it just goes to show how much spatial awareness I knew about the game, and then realizing that, holy crap, there's so many great players here who's out fooling me, and he just did that. And that was like, I don't know if you saw my face, like, oh my gosh. And I even said, like, Mother Chucker and stuff, and I was like, wow, he actually got me good. And I even said, like, I give credit to him, because if I was a fan of the show, I would be like applauding him. But because the fact is, one massive like fault in his game is that he showed me the idol that it's in his hands. So that is the biggest information that led me to be like, well, okay, let's all band together and vote him out.
So let's skip forward a little bit. We're at the final eight, I believe, and Sarah's going home, and you know, you say the whole drowned cat thing, you know. Why was it that she has to go? Was it because just the tide was turning too far against her and you couldn't turn it back? Or in your head, were you just like, it's starting to turn, let's go with this?
Oh, well, you know what, actually, so at that time she was wanting to get rid of like the, what she felt were people who weren't threats, or like, you know, like goats or whatever. And so she was trying to get rid of those people. And she wanted to try and get across to the big threats that if we band together and get rid of the threats, the non-threats, then we will still stay alive. But if we don't, then they're going to pick us one by one, which is fair enough. Right? Fair enough. But at the end of the day, through all those threats are not going to band together to work together. You know what I mean? Because it's just not, I don't know. But I just felt like
feasible.
It's just, for them, they'll be like, no way, we want to get rid of you. And, you know what I mean? So, and especially at that KFC moment when they had, they all were like, oh, let's say it together, who we're going to get rid of. And they were just like 3, 2, 1. And they all, like two of them said Peter, two of them said Jericho. And it was the minute when they realized, well, we're not going to work together, you know? So, and from that was, I reckon the minute where Sarah kind of stuffed up. And also it's so funny because, I knew that the minute they're all ready to go and vote Sarah out, it was me and Luke had rocked up, and we were like, okay, we looked at each other and we're like, we can try and save Sarah, or we can try and look at it this way. Michelle actually doesn't like like Sarah, that bridge is over. But she's actually keen to work with me and Luke. She even said, I'm fine and I forgive Luke and Jericho. But the problem I have is with Sarah. She had burnt this bridge, like, you know, burnt the bridge and everything. So I was like,
and this is about keeping her out of
the
dark.
Yeah, full on. And for some reason, this plan that me and Luke had done, it's backfired on Sarah. So we're like, let's just, like, get rid of her and in the hopes that we lose her, but we gain Michelle again. And then we will have Michelle again. And I had thought that perhaps maybe Tara would be keen on us, like me, Michelle, and Luke, which makes her four, and then get rid of Lockie, who she did kind of consider getting rid of because she was like, oh, we need to get rid of Lockie because he's a big threat, la, 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 but he won an immunity. So that was the whole idea, but obviously it didn't go that way. So, right.
So you lose Sarah, then you lose Luke. We've already spoken about that. How did your game change with Luke being gone? Mm. Because I think it was a real positive for you that Luke was gone.
It's funny, hey, because I actually thought it was a positive too. Gutting that I lost my best friend and that it didn't go the way that I wanted to go, in the sense that I wanted to make a big move against him. But it turned out good. It was like the fact that, like, I didn't have to vote for him and I vote with him. It was like, you know, shows the relationship, blah, blah, blah. But I felt like it was positive in the sense primarily because any moves that I make, it wasn't going to be overshunned by Luke. And that if anything that I do, it would be purely me. And it shows that, oh, Jericho can make moves without the need of Luke, and that he can stand on his own, and he can literally get out of, like, you know, the pit and do it without riding, because it's perceived from people that I was riding on his coattail. And the fact that I did it without him at six all the way to number one is like shows that I could do it without him. Yeah,
I think it was a good amount of time for you to show that you were good with and without him.
Sure,
very, very good there. And Lockie kind of is rearing his head at the moment here. He says he's got a fake idol. And was there any part of you that believed it? Because Pete really didn't. We saw that Michelle and Tara did. I can't quite remember. What was your thoughts on the
Tara point? Really believed it. I think she really did. I don't know if she tells you any different, but I honestly...
No, she did. Yes.
I honestly didn't. And it was me and Peter who were like, no way. And it was because his reasonings were just so poor. Like, he comes and tells Tara that he's got... Like, I watched him show Tara, like, a piece of paper, but not the idol. And then he goes, oh, I've hidden it. But then when it comes to close to tribal councils or, like, anything like that, he never, like, went to go and get it. So I was like, so you're going to keep it at buried. So I'm just like, especially during the time when it was Ziggy, they were like, wouldn't you just save Ziggy and go and get it? But he just didn't. So that's when I was like, oh, well, that's just like, you're just going desperate. Yeah.
Can you describe Lockie's manner? Because a lot of people said that he's actually better than the show gave him credit for, but a lot of people are also saying that he didn't quite have the right social manner. And I think one of those examples was when there's the threat of going to Rocks at Final Six, and he's like, Jericho, are you going to flip? Like, we're going to go to Rocks. And you're like, great, risk is good. I love risk. And you could see in his face that he was like, damn, this little guy's not backing down from me. And I think it was really like, I think it was the same kind of thing in his mind of like when he's like, why are people following AK and not me? Like, what is it about Lockie's manner that kind of didn't work?
To be honest, like, the thing is with Lockie is that he wants to take control, which is everybody. Everyone wants to take control in the game and stuff. The thing is, when you stand up against someone like Lockie, I feel that you have some sort of, like, power because you're not going with him. with such a guy that's huge and everything, and he's got like such a persona where he carries himself not in just challenges but on like just ever in camp. When you go against the wave, you feel like, you know what, like I don't, he has nothing against, he has nothing on me, like I can do things without him. And so the minute he was like, came up to me and he was like, Jericho, do you want, we can do this, or you do you want to go with me and vote, blah blah, I was like, you know what, nah. And I think it's like a thing on his face, and it's not normal for him. He's like, what the hell, usually I get people over. And in a game of Survivor, like, it's not the same as in reality. Like, sometimes there are people who has that kind of power who can get, like, a whole crowd, like, a whole audience to go that way. But in Survivor, it's like you can be as powerful as one person because you've got that one vote just as much as everyone else. So when you say no, they're like, what? And it's terrifying. It's intimidating. So I knew that I had that power in the sense that I had one vote just as much as he did, and I could force a tie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, good. Again, that risk is, I think that's the one word that I would sum up your game with, which is risk. And a lot of people are risk averse and you're not. And in that moment, it showed that you weren't. And, it, you know, you should earn people's vote purely. And this is why one of the strengths, I think, of Pete's game as well, that he was willing to risk. And he was also like with that, when in that instance, he was willing to risk by kind of like backing AK when they swapped over. I think that kind of risk is really good. So good on you for having
that.
We're at the final four now. And at the final four, you guys have the reward to vote someone out of the jury. I want to go, what was the guidelines that you were given from the show about how you could ask questions of the jury? Did they just literally say, just ask three people, or were there guidelines?
Yeah, so again, like anything to do with clues and stuff like that, they give you the can-ots and cans. And so the minute I won, they gave me like cans, and so they were just like, you have...
Is this in front of the other, in front of the other
people? No. This was, again, like it's purely with like the person, the producer, whatever, and yourself. And so they just tell you, just to let you know, even the cast, like Michelle and Tara, had no idea. They had no idea until Tribal Council. So I was told secretly that I was allowed to ask three people a question. And these questions are going to be questions that, like, you know, they're not throwaway questions, but more so help to determine my decision.
Yeah.
And so when I got that opportunity, I was like, perfect. And they were just like, but just don't tell anyone. And I was like, done, awesome. So the minute I got that opportunity, I decided to ask, like, you know, like Jared and Annalise and Tessa, and purely it was because these were the three people who were close to being voted out, like really early in the game in the jury, but also people who had really didn't have a connection with. I didn't know Jared. I hardly knew Tessa, and Annalise was like, so you couldn't read her. So I was just like, I needed to know more about those guys, and that was from but I had an idea of who I wanted to get out, like as I was going to Tribal Council anyway.
Sure. So did you always know it was going to be Tessa, and you were just kind of testing the waters with the others?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was really leaning on Tessa with an idea of possibly Jared and Annalise, but I was trying to weigh up. This is the funny part. Like, just before Tribal Council, I kind of asked, like, the other contestants, oh, who do you guys reckon is, like, would be, I was like, I need your help. I need some of your opinions. But it was more like, if they were trying to protect certain people, is the minute I, like, look into them, the more. Because, do you know what I mean? Like, if I was like, the minute Peter was like, oh, I don't know, I reckon Tess is all right, actually. Let's get rid of, like, say, someone like Sarah. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I need Sarah. And that just goes to show Tess is even more important to get rid of. You know what I mean? So,
but the thing is, the irony is there that Sarah didn't vote for you and Tessa definitely
would. Yeah, so that's a funny irony. So as much as like I laughed and stuff, like, and all of that, here's the thing. There's a funny part. When I went into that and I got rid of Tessa, like, I never thought to myself, I'm going to be guaranteed final three and blah, blah, blah. And sure, maybe I would have taken Peter to the end or whatever, or like, la, 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 la. But at the circumstance that Michelle went to gun for me was the minute everything changed. You know what I mean? So there was never a point where I was like, I was always going to take, because the fact that she was like, oh, I'm going to take, oh, Tessa was like, oh, yeah, Tara's a weak link. I could easily bring her to the end, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, like, and if I got Tessa out, that means I can take Peter to the end. It was, I never looked at it in the sense where, like, this is exactly what's going to happen. The minute Michelle had changed her idea was the minute, like, my whole plan had changed and I was just responding to what had happened at final four, final three, final two. I never was never guaranteeing myself in the final two. Never. So that's how I responded. And yeah, that's, I don't know. Like,
okay. So, yeah. It didn't have an impact on the game. You won, you know, it didn't really matter, but I think it's important just to kind of ask, you know, did you ever consider, and this is something that I thought, did you ever consider having one of your questions be for Luke and say, Luke, who should I vote off the jury?
No, so he was the other, so you couldn't say that. That was one of the producers' questions, the producer's thing. So you couldn't go, you couldn't go and just ask. If it was for Luke, I could have easily said that, but they told me not. Yeah. But the one of the producers, you know, if I did have a question for Luke, it would have been to actually not ask Annalise, and I would have just asked Luke. And if it was a question to Luke, it would have been, "Hey Luke, are we all good?" Like, just one question, just for the lols again. You know, like, there's nothing that would have been it would have been no gameplay, just for the laugh. That just would have been me.
And last question about this. Did you ever consider, you know, if Tessa was going to stump for Pete, did you ever consider voting out Lockie, who was definitely going to stump for
Pete? Yeah. So Lockie and Tessa were the immediate pro. So how I was trying to figure out was, like, who was pro for someone at the final four and who was, like, you know. So I just thought to myself, like, Tessa's so pro Peter, Lockie's so pro Tara, and I was like, there's not many anyone that was really pro Michelle. So that's how I was looking for it. I was trying to look at all four of them. Yeah. And to be honest, I looked at Tessa was going to outweigh Lockie if it came to speeches. Okay. So that's why I got rid of Tessa.
Sure. So you get rid of Tessa, which is absolutely devastating for her. But, you know, these things, you got to do what you got to do. You also, before we get to Michelle going home, you have the family visit. I loved your brother and the whole coconut thing. I thought that was so cool. And he mentioning he had two idols. What was it like having your brother there?
Oh, it was so funny because I actually, I felt like proud in the sense that I could have him experience it because he's actually a huge fan. Like, he's, we're both huge fans, and for him to experience it and to know that his brother is living it out, and like, he was like, holy crap, I'm living a dream. And you know, when he did like that little, like, oh, don't worry, I got two idols, like trying to pretend like he's part of the game, that's actually like, you know, that's the fact that he was doing that, it's like living the dream. So
so we get to the final four, and you know, before we get to what happened, what was your ideal scenario at the final four? Who would you have wanted to have gone fourth? Who would you have wanted to have gone third? And who would you have wanted to take to the end?
So I'll tell you the truth. Like, in my opinion, I did to see on TV that Michelle was an incredible social player. I didn't see that as much of a threat on being on the island. So I was keen to go to the end with her as much as I wanted to go to the end with Tara. So those two were my two picks to go to the end. They were like two, option A, option B. But I was like, oh, I don't mind going with Michelle. And so my ideal plan was that I went up to Michelle and I was like, Michelle, I'm keen to go with you. And if we do, what we can do is if you can convince PETA to go vote me out, which you could do, then that's great. And what I will do is I go to Tara, convince her to vote for you. That will be one vote for each of us. And then you and me become the majority and we just vote out Tara. But Michelle didn't get that in her head. And
wow, that's interesting.
So I had told Michelle that. She found that like really weird. And she was like, no, that's not going to work. And I was like, what do you mean? It actually works. Like, you can actually convince PETA to vote for me. And that makes it sound so believable because PETA will definitely vote for me because it just sounds right. And then I can convince Tara because you saw me convince Tara to vote Michelle, right? And I was like, you and me can actually vote out Tara. But it didn't go out that way. The minute when she found that aux and then she started doing the whole thing where she kept going to PETA was the minute I was like,
yeah,
that just doesn't sound right. I was like, what the hell? It makes sense that they're going out there to get rid of me. So that's when I was like, you know what, Michelle, like guts on you, like, because you don't want to do that. Let's just go to Draw Rocks. And she didn't, and I knew she didn't want to go to Rocks because she was like so confident in trying to get the majority and just get rid of me. So I was like, oh, nah, no way.
Yeah.
And that was my idea.
Your plan is very interesting. It's tricky, very tricky and risky at the final four to go and even to sacrifice, put your name out there as well. Kudos to you on that one. I also loved how you did sense Pete's plan and you kind of, but surely you knew. Surely you knew that of that final four, you were the one that had the best chance to win.
Right, so that was how I got – that's why I clicked when I was like, that just doesn't make sense. Because I was like, why is he going – why would he come up to me and say, oh, Tara, blah, 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 and like sell this whole idea that it should be Tara. And then as he walked off, I was like, why would he not like consider me as a threat? Because I was like, I'm good in challenges. I'm good in like social skills. And like, I think I'm pretty much of a threat. I was like, why would he not throw my name under the bus?
Yeah.
It was the reason why I was like talking to myself, you know, it just doesn't make sense. Yeah. And that was
with the machete in your hand. Yeah. So when you went to fire, obviously you were confident that you would win the fire challenge, but before that, like, I feel one of the things I was explaining to Tara on the podcast and that she hadn't really thought about until until I said it to her was that, you know, Pete wins the immunity. He's got all the glory from winning the immunity. It should be his move. But then Tara and you steal his glory by forcing the tie, but then you steal all the glory by winning the fight.
It
just seemed like Tara didn't understand that by her going with you. She wasn't actually getting the glory of forcing the move. She was literally handing you all the glory.
So when the minute we went to Ty was the minute I was like, perfect. I'm going to be the one that's shining bright to the end of the, you know, at the end of the night.
Exactly.
Like how it is like people remember the beginning and the night. No one remembers the middle. So the minute I won that challenge was the minute I was like, well, I get more glory. And in fact, it almost worked out perfect that my name was thrown. I didn't win that challenge and that my name was thrown out and that I fought for myself. Because in fact, if anything, that was the first and only time my name was ever written down throughout the whole Survivor where I had to fought myself. And sometimes it's so funny that maybe you need your name to be thrown out there and you're on the chopping blocks because that goes to show to the rest of the players that you can fight your way from the ground up. And no one really saw that I could do that because my name was never written down. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, you just don't want it out there 20 times.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And, but I mean, but the fact that you did 20 times and that you lasted however long you did goes to show that you're always remembered. Oh, Nick is actually a great player. You know what I mean? So, like, I think that you're a memorable player because I know.
All right, enough about it. It's not about me. Sorry, I shouldn't have brought me up.
In general, I'm just saying that in Survivor, yeah. I think that someone who goes from the bottom and their name is always thrown out,
yes,
and they fight their yes. way, is a place and area where they can show and prove to the rest of the game players they can, like, yes. literally play the game and actually get out of the pit. Yeah.
I think that, you know, you did a lot of great moves, but if I had to chalk up your moves on a ranking board, I think that that day and night, that afternoon, and Tribal Council goes up there to the very top. And what a better place to have one of your best moves, two votes before the final Tribal Council.
Thank you.
So very good.
You mentioned like ideal plan. Can I just say that ideal plan before the challenge is that all three of us were keen on getting rid of Peter, but he didn't win immunity. Okay.
But so why did you want to get rid of Peter? Is it because he had friends on
so
the jury?
So I thought if we got rid of Peter, me, Michelle, and Tara, is the minute I basically guaranteed myself a spot in the final two because I knew I could beat Michelle and Tara in any challenge. That's how I looked at it.
Okay. So this is what I want to come, and I know we're skipping ahead here because we will circle back to the final challenge. No, I'm skipping ahead because I want to talk about the final three Tribal Council. The argument was that everyone was saying, no, take me to the end, I'm better. Take me to the end, I'm better. And I think it's very convenient, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, Jericho. Okay. I think it's very convenient that you think Tara was the better player when it seems like Tara definitely only had one vote on the jury, but Pete had definitely had three. And I think it just seems too convenient for you to say, no, Tara's the best, when you know you can beat Tara Jericho. Level with me. Be honest.
I'll be honest right now. So I knew that when I was going to the final two with someone, I had to take Tara purely because, one, Peter can talk better than Tara. Two, I think it was easy for everyone to have in the back of their heads, she did get voted out. And three, I think that there were times where in some tribal councils, she didn't know where votes were going and she just had no idea. And so, gameplay wise, strategically, I had more of an understanding of where votes were going against her. And so I knew that I was going to the final two with her with a upper hand versus someone who had Peter. If I was with Peter, he can manipulate ways to be able to make it look like I had a great understanding of the game. Do you get what I mean? So I was like, nah, I'm taking. Sounds.
And that's exactly how I view it. Right. What we're learning here is the discussion about, you know, I'm going to take the best because I want to beat
you have to display that on.
Definitely. Jericho, I'm saying this as like what a huge tick in your arsenal that you convinced the jury, whether they bought it or not, I guess they did because they voted for you. How awesome is that, that you lied to them basically by saying, no, I think I'm bringing someone who's more worthy. So you get the glory of doing that. But in secretly, you know that she's not and you know that you can beat her. Not that Tara's not a good player.
Yeah, but I get completely exactly what you're saying, and that's my reasoning.
Okay, good. No, I think that's a huge, that's such a big thing to do, and, like, that you did it, another hats off to you. Like, there were just, your end run to the game had so many awesome points to it, and I think that's another one of them, that you literally built a whole tribal council at the final three around this idea.
You explained it well.
Very good. No, it was very good. Let's talk about that immunity challenge going in to that final immunity challenge. Look, we all saw what happened last year. Were you nervous?
Oh, when I looked at it, I literally, you know how you can like go up to the challenge team and be like, oh, what's this, and have all these questions. I had so many questions in regards to like is my shortness going to make a massive difference, la, 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 because Peter's a bit taller than me. Like, literally, I had all of these things because I wanted to win. I was, like, packed down to make sure that everything's even and fair. Yeah.
I think your shortness was a benefit because you didn't have to hunt.
Yeah, but then, yeah, well, then at the same time, I was thinking, oh, like, is it, like, his arm reach going, you know, like, his lip going to be making a difference, la, la, la. So that's what I was thinking,
Yeah. I think you did a really, really good job in that final challenge. You looked like you were not stressing at all. It looked like you could have gone for a while.
My face shows it, but, you know, my heart was like, it's painful. But,
Give me two top tips for future Survivor players who have to do that challenge. What are the two best tips physically on what to do?
I reckon poker face, because if poker face is really important, poker face. Yep. And the other one is probably the people that you feel like you want to gain motivation from, whether if it's family, friends, whatever, use that. But to be honest, I'll tell you my motivation. It was literally the producers. I was like, in my head, they were looking at us. There was a whole cast of all these crew that were watching, and they were like they had their teeth and their, you know, they're biting their nails and everything. And I was like, in my head, I was like, oh man, this is their baby. If they want a good ending, I was like in my head ego. I was like, they want me in the final too, so I gotta do it for them. This is their product, this is their baby. So I was like, yeah, I was doing it for them. Yeah. Which is weird, like, it wasn't even family, I'm pretty weird. But yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, last year was such a huge TV moment that I think they wanted to
replicate. Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so we're at Final Tribal Council. Your approach was very forceful, and I liked it. It was very much like, these are the moves I made. This is what I did. You're all victims, blah, 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 blah. Was that your plan going in?
Yeah, well, I knew that it's very different to the cast or whatever from other seasons. And I knew that I was rocking up to a jury full of great players, and I knew that. So, I realize that to gain their respect is to own to your game and all the moves that you make. And so I had a feeling that the minute I say I regret or I'm sorry for doing that is the minute that I lose their vote, especially for game players. And so I had a lot of people who were asking me like, blah, 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 do you regret this? Or do you, you know, are you sorry for this? And do you even have feelings for blah, blah, blah. I knew that was basically trap questions. So I was just like, no, you know what? I'm going to own up to it, and I'm going to let you know that I don't even care. I did this, and it was my move, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Instead of going, oh, I'm sorry. I'm half-hearted, like, you know? And, yeah, that's how I felt. Like, I went into the actual tribal council, and although that may have – you know, like, made someone feel, like, upset and bitter about it and been like, oh, well, that's, like, so cocky of him.
Yeah.
I was going to take that chance.
I know. I think it's the right approach to own your game. You don't want to appear wishy-washy. I love when you said, I have your blood on my hands and I'm good with it. I was like, yes, Jericho, yes.
Could have backfired if I had a different audience, right?
Yes, yes. True? Of course. You did well to cater to the audience you had. However, one of the things I want to talk about is Pete. So Pete voted for Tara, and in my interview with him, he says that one of the things that reasons why he voted against you was because that when you voted him out at the final three, you said something in the confessional. What was that? In the voting booth.
Oh, I called him Baba Black Sheep. I know. So this is what had happened. I walked to the voting booth with my head over, like, you know, in the skies, and I thought I was the man. And I just went into the voting booth, and I wrote Peter's name, and I said, Black sheep, have you any wool? Not knowing how loud I said it and the fact that actually the jury heard it. And that actually was a massive snowball effect, and it was actually brought up into the to the tribal council, and that Henry brought it up and said that, like, not knowing if it was real or fake, or if he was just trying to play me, or if it was just a like an act, but he was saying how you said, you know, you started singing Baba Black Sheep and it made me sick to my stomach. I don't even know who you are. You say you're this good person, and the fact that you did that disgusted me, that I went home to the villa and I was sick to my stomach. And I was like, oh shoot, what did I just do? But yeah.
Did you think, and you didn't, and you still were like, do you know what, I'm not going to apologize?
Yeah, so well, his question after that, right after he said that, he was like, do you regret that? And I said, no. I literally looked at him in the eye and I said, no. Like, no, nothing else. No sentences afterwards. I just said, no. And then I think that would have hurt Peter, because I think, like, at the end of the day, he's still like that. Hit him, and you know what I mean, and like for him to be like say Baba Black Sheep, and then for his theme from other people to be called a goat, like that would have been his final straw. Like, no way, even if he's the conference, and I'm not going to give him his vote.
Is there a way, do you feel, looking back, do you think there's, and again, you won, so it doesn't really matter, but like, is there a way to spin it where for future people that you can be that forceful person, that you can try and not offend people, or do you just think, you know what, you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound, do the whole thing?
Yeah. So you know what, like, that would be those little ticks that I did, like egos, when you think you're the man, is the minute that those little ticks can be the breaker of your game. So that one, when I was like Hababa Black Sheep, is literally probably one of the times I felt like I was like the biggest, you know, I was the king, the man, and because I had the necklace on my, around my neck, I thought like this would do nothing to me. I'm invincible. And in fact, I lost a vote, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that happened, I think that's the same ego in things like, say, for example, when Henry was so confident, he came into tribal council thinking he had all the votes.
Yeah.
And then he didn't play his idol. That is the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That same ego, that is that same tick, that small 2 seconds that changes the whole game and actually could cost you your game. Yeah. And I would say to those people, look into that.
Okay. Good. No, good. But again, that's what made you so fun to watch, man. Like, it was just, yeah. So just quickly, before you went into tribal council, whose vote did you think you didn't have? Because I think that you probably thought you had a majority, but was whose did you think you were like, did you know you didn't have Lockie's?
Oh, can I tell you who I thought I had?
Yeah, go.
I thought I had Luke and Sarah and like on down. And I was wrong, like for the Sarah. I'm still kind of like, what the, why she didn't vote for me? But I really thought that I had those two guaranteed. And actually, Michelle.
Yep.
So basically the people that call for, right? That we all say. And then the people that were the question mark with the rest, but the ones who I thought I didn't have, I'll tell you the people who I thought I didn't have was Ziggy, I didn't think I would have. And I actually personally was question mark to Lockie. I actually thought that maybe I could have had him in the sense that he loves and respects the whole physical challenges, and that I was a physical threat, and that I also played a social game where he saw that when we went. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that may have been where I could get him, but I didn't. So I was, you know, like there was a few surprises. Sarah, Ziggy, and Lockie. Yeah, that's that's about it.
And what did you, so after the actual tribal council and, you know, it's all over, filming's done, you head home for a couple of months, you know, whatever it is, while it's there, did you think you had it in the bag?
I was screwed up. I had sleepless nights. No, just joking. For reals, like, I got home and I thought to myself, I probably have an edge, but if anything, if I lose the game, it would be my own fault. And it was purely because of how I tackled the tribal council and the jury, and it was how I was pretty aggressive compared to Tara.
One of the comments that's come up with from a few people is that you didn't have a very good final tribal council, that they thought that, mm-hmm. like you hit all the points, you had a great, you know, mm-hmm. tone and everything, but in terms of explaining yourself, that you didn't quite mm-hmm. do what you wanted to do, and that Tara edged you out in delivery. Do you agree with that, or, and if so, what happened?
Like, I'll be honest, and I'm like, this is me trying to tell you the truth. I'm not a really good speaker, and I'm not like the person that will be able to get across messages exactly the way I want to. I'm just, I fumble on my words. You even see it, that I fumble on my words. And if anything, I shoot myself on the foot, and I don't know where there's a full stop. So when I knew, like, fully, yeah. And so sometimes when I even, like, want to say a message, ends up becoming like an analogy, and it just goes crazy, and then people are going, what the hell, blood wars, blood gore, you know, and people just get put off by that, and they're like, what are you even trying to say?
Yeah.
And that's just me, and it's so unfortunate that I have this random thing that goes around my head. So I knew that when I went to the tribal council, the only enemy that I was probably going to face is me, and I was going to ruin it for myself. So people will say that I didn't do a good job. And to be honest, to be fair with you, I think there was times where I thought I really lost people's votes purely because I just stuffed it up. And you know how you talk verbal diarrhea, where you just talk and just. So I verbal diarrhea, and I'll be honest, I verbal diarrheaed when I was saying an answer to somebody about Luke, calling him a reindeer, and I was the Santa Claus, or blah, 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 blah. It's funny as heck, right? But that doesn't actually display the real relationship that me and Luke had, which was that actually it was such a real partnership, in the sense that we both saw eye to eye, and it was so even. But the fact that the way I said it, like as if I was the one, like, writing, I don't know.
So you win the whole thing, you know, all this jazz, whatever, at the reunion, you know, it's, you know, you're the man. You mentioned this whole idea of Jericho 2.0, how you've changed. Mm-hmm. And everyone, you know, comes out of the game, whether mm-hmm. you were first or you won, saying that they've changed.
Mm-hmm.
What does Jericho 2.0 look like that he didn't look like before?
Jericho 2.0 is somebody who can actually be able to read people's moves and be able to act upon it and know that you have to throw away your values and your principles in order to make the right decision for yourself. And if it means to be like selfish gains, then you do it, regardless of whether it contests against your values. So that's me. But in Jericho 1.0, it would have been like, I'm sorry, or like going back and like being half-hearted, and people exploit those weaknesses. And that's the reason why people like who was really honest and loyal, say for example, you know, Tarzan, who went to take the wood, he was voted out that same day. So like that's something I could never see myself do in a game where if I was to come back again, Jericho 2.0 would make sure that that would never happen.
That was my final question, or one of my final questions. Would you play again?
In a heartbeat, but not anytime soon.
Oh, you would? You've got nothing to lose, I guess.
In a heartbeat. I mean, it's I went to play there for the love of the game, not to win a prize. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, what's next? What's now? You've won this, you know, you said you're going back to work and stuff, but what are you going to do with your money? What are you going to do now with your outlook on life? How old are you, Jericho, by the way?
25.
So you're 25. You've got half a mil in the bank, the title of Soul Survivor, and a highly recognizable face. What is next?
to be honest, grow, learn, and just see what the next future awaits, to be honest. And you just go from there, to be honest, yeah.
Love it. Jericho, we got to the end.
Yeah, crazy numbers, eh? How insane. What a crazy what season has it been, eh? Completely different to season one.
Completely.
But I hope you guys liked it. I mean, I hope you liked it.
Jericho, I told you in person and I'll tell you again, it's so much better than season one. It was one of the best Survivor seasons I've ever watched, and I've watched them all.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, that's too much. I hope you're not, like, trying to
do this. No, mate. Go back. Right. I've said this. Go back and listen to all the podcasts. I've said this the entire way. I think it had everything. It had strategy. It had human stories. It had humor, which is something that a lot of Survivor seasons miss. It had, you know, twists and turns, but nothing that was too detrimental. It had great players and a great winner. So thank you so much, Jericho.
Oh, all right. Thank you so much, Nick.
Where can people keep in touch with what you're doing?
Instagram, Jerry Mowgli. That's right. Just, you know, the Mowgli inside Jericho. It's there.
Jerry Mowgli. I like it. Yes, and you're a good Instagrammer. So yeah, everyone, get out there and follow him.
Thanks, my man.
All right, mate. We are going to leave it there. Hopefully, we get a chance to chat in the very near future. I will let you go back to Luke and have some beers with him. But thank you, and we will speak to you soon.
Thanks, man. Enjoy your time.
All right, mate. Gotcha.
Later, brother.